once you have boots on the ground, you're in a market for a period of time, you intimately know what you can get. What you see on those websites is one that could be a leading or lagging data point. Actually knowing what's being written today, that takes more intimate knowledge after you've been in a market for some time.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Monday, we're coming at you all things multifamily real estate investing. And today, another solo episode. We got a topic that everyone loves, right? Finding more deals. How to find more deals through underwriting. Before I get into that, though, as always, a little housekeeping. After all, I don't promote this, advertise. The only way we really get this out is by you, my amazing listeners, sharing it with friends and others you think could also get value from the show, and by leaving ratings and reviews. So if you could do that, that would mean the world to me. All right. So today's topic, how to increase your deal flow through underwriting. Now, I've talked countless times on how to get the deal flow coming in by building relationships with brokers. Obviously, there's other methods too, by going direct to seller through cold calling, email campaigns, mailers, so on and so forth. But today I want to specifically talk about, once you get that deal flow coming in, how can you actually find more deals? And first, I want to kind of paint this picture with a story. And the story goes, there was a ceramics teacher in high school. At the beginning of the semester, he announced that the final would be a year-long project, and that he would separate the class into two groups. Group A would be focused on quantity. So how many ceramic bowls could they make? And he would grade that based on the weight, right? So 50 pounds and above would get an A, 40 pounds a B, so on and so forth. And group B, the second group, would be graded on quality. In order for them to get an A, they would just have to make one essentially perfect ceramic bowl, and that would get them an A. And so this was, again, a semester long project. And the results he got when he went to grade was actually quite fascinating. And the results were that the work of the highest quality bowls actually came from the group that was being graded for quantity. So the group that was being graded for making the most actually ended up producing the highest quality bowl. And you might ask why, like, aren't they just about quantity, right? They're just pushing out numbers. And as he looked into it, it was that group B, who was focused on quality, was just so focused on making the perfect bowl that they just focused on that perfection and not actually trial and error. They didn't have to produce a lot. So they just focused on quality and just did a few runs. Whereas the quantity group, they were just pumping out numbers. And after time, they had so much practice because they were just pumping out so many bowls. By the end, they got so good at this, they produced the highest quality bowl and they got the best grade in the class. And this goes for anything in life, goes for underwriting as well. The way you're going to find more deals is by underwriting more deals. Simple as that. The more you underwrite, it's a numbers game. The more you're likely to find a deal that works. And also what's going to happen along the way is you're going to pick up patterns. You're going to find patterns. You're going to see, okay, if I see this much loss to lease growth, like if I'm able to get, say, $200 in loss to lease rent growth, then I know I'm going to have to at least be able to turn X percentage of the units. Well, this deal has already turned this 90%, so I don't have that X percent to work with, so this is not going to be a deal. It's just an example. You're going to be able to pick up patterns, and you're going to be able to pass on deals that don't make sense faster, which is only to your benefit, because then you'll be able to go look at more deals faster than anyone else, sooner than anyone else, and you'll be able to find a deal that works faster. And we all know this is about speed, right? Getting back to the brokers, getting back to the sellers as quickly as possible so we can make deals happen, right? Making fast decisions. And when I say fast, they're not irrational, uneducated decisions. They're logical, sound decisions. You're just able to make them faster than others because you've looked at more deals and you can pick up these patterns faster than anyone else. And then you're able to make a quick decision and then go lock up that deal. So the point of this is it's a numbers game. Underwrite more and more deals. One, the more you underwrite and the faster you underwrite, the faster you're going to find a deal that works. And two, you're going to pick up on patterns, on strategies, and when you get really intimate with a market, you're going to be able to just look at a deal quickly and know if it's worth digging in or not. And then once you dig in, you're going to then know quicker than others if it actually is a deal. And I don't want to just give you this philosophical strategy or tip to getting more deals to work for you. So I actually want to share something that's more concrete and tactical. And that's just a quick way to kind of assess a deal, whether it's worth looking into or not. And this is not the end all be all, but it's a quick way to do it. And that's you take your market rent. And this is one of the most important metrics to know in your market is what can you actually get in the market? And you might think, oh, that's easy. Just go on apartments.com, CoStar, blah, 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 right? And yeah, sure. Once you have boots on the ground, you're in a market for a period of time, you intimately know what you can get. What you see on those websites is one that could be a leading or lagging data point, right? Like CoStar usually lags and apartments.com can sometimes lead. It's more of like wishful thinking, right? They're just putting a number out there, hoping someone will bite. But actually knowing what's being written today, like what rate is being signed on a lease today, that takes more intimate knowledge after you've been in a market for some time. And this is one of the biggest metrics that you need to know is what's actually the going market rent in your market. And this can change fast, especially in today's market. This can change pretty fast. So you take that market rent, multiply it by the unit count, and you multiply it by 12 for 12 months in a year. And once you get that, then you multiply it by some say 95. I like to say 94% occupancy, and that's going to give you your revenue. You're going to set that. So then you're going to take that revenue and you're going to multiply it by the expense ratio in your given market. So again, this is, again, being intimate with your market, really knowing your market. What's the average expense ratio to operate a property? And what I mean by that is relative to the revenue, what's the percentage of expenses? It usually, depending on the market, kind of range from 40 to 50%. And if you're a really efficient operator, you probably get it down to 35. And so that's, you got to know that metric. So just say it's 50, then you multiply that revenue you calculated by 50%, and that gives you your NOI, your net operating income. And then now you need to calculate the stabilized yield. And what that means, you know what a cap rate is, right? So the cap rate is what's in the given market, right? So NOI divided by purchase price gives you your cap rate. So what they're trading at, 5, 6, 7%, right? So stabilized is what your NOI is after you've put in your renovations, you've brought in new tenants, at the new gross rent minus your new expenses, that gives you your stabilized NOI. So your stabilized yield is taking the NOI that you just calculated and dividing it by the purchase price plus renovation costs is going to give you your stabilized. So once you have that stabilized yield, you want to make sure it's at least 200 basis points. So 2% above the current market cap rate. And again, if you're intimate with your market, you've been in the market a long time, you probably know what the true market cap rate is, or at least pretty close to it. If not, I would advise talking to other local investors, brokers, and kind of get their feel for local property management, get their feel for where, and you know, not every property management is going to know that, but kind of get a feel for what that market cap is. And so you want to be at least 200 basis points above. And yeah, it took me a little time to explain that, but it's a really quick calculation. We have it on our underwriting tool. So you can just simply put that into Excel and plug in the data points and it'll spit out. So at least 200 basis points, you want your stabilized yield to be above your market cap. And that shows you that this is a deal to look into. It's not saying, yep, this is a deal. It's you should look into this further. All right, everybody. So again, this is a numbers game. The more you look at, the more likely you're to find one that makes sense and that works. So get out there, increase the top of your funnel, right? That can be a multitude of things. Like I said at the beginning of the show, could be creating more broker relations, getting on more of their list so you can see more deals. Specifically, you want to build those relationships so you can get the stuff before it's mass marketed to everyone. Because usually the stuff that's mass marketed means it was passed over by their cream of the crop investors, the guys that have been doing deals with them for some time. So if they're passing on it, it's probably for a good reason, probably something you might not want to get into. So you want to make sure you're getting at the top of their list so you see the good stuff first. Then there's obviously cold calling sellers, emailing sellers, mailers to sellers, driving for dollars on Google Maps, Google Earth. There's all these methods, but increase the top of your funnel so you can look at more deals. And it's all about a numbers game, right? The more you see, the more likely you're to find one. And the better you get, it's like the whole 10,000 hours. You master something after putting in 10,000 hours, right? So the more you see, the better you're going to get at it. All right, everybody. Hope this helped. And as always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, have your money work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our dreams and make this world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.